This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of E-Reminders with me, Abdurrahim Green. And today we're going to take a little diversion from the true hero's journey to talk about something that is quite personal to me. And I hope that if any of you know any people who are converts or reverts to Islam, you might share this with them because I think it's going to be particularly relevant to them. But also, I think everybody hopefully can take a lesson from this. So the reason why I've changed or diverted from the theme and today's talk is called Your Mother, Your Mother, Your Mother, is because the night before last, my mother died. She passed away in her sleep and she didn't take Shahada. She didn't die a Muslim, despite her being given lots of dawah by myself and, you know, her grandchildren, my kids, and lots of mashallah brothers who have met her over the years. But subhanallah, Allah, man yahdihillahu fala mudillala, man yudlil fala hadiyala, that Allah guides whomever he guides and whoever he leaves to go astray, no one can guide. But some strange things happened to my mum before she died. And one of them was that she was a great lover of animals. My mum loved animals. She loved her dogs, but she loved all sorts of animals. Like almost any animal or any creature that there was, she loved it. I think she reckoned that, generally a lot of them were better than most humans. And, you know, my mum had a tough life. She was born, she was sort of a child during the war. She had to leave Poland when she was a little kid, and she migrated across Europe to get away from the Nazis. Her father was killed in the Battle of Monte Cristo, or soon after the Battle of Monte Cristo. He was in the Polish Free Army, and he was killed. So she was basically, from an Islamic perspective, an orphan. And she spent most of her childhood being brought up in Kenya, not poor by, I guess, African standards, but certainly by European standards, or certainly by the standards that she was used to, because she came from a, you know, sort of landed gentry back in Poland. And and I myself was born in Tanzania, because that's where my mum met my dad, in East Africa. Alhamdulillah. What can we say? All praise is always due to Allah. But really, I wanted to, you know, use it as a chance, not really so much to reflect upon my mum herself personally, although there's lots I could say about her. Very positive things, very, very positive things. Alhamdulillah, no doubt, whatever, you know, whether she was Muslim or not, literally the only thing I could, you know, fault her for was that she wasn't Muslim. I mean, in terms of the way she brought me up, the way she raised, she really did her best. And Allah knows best. That's it, really. I must admit, I was very, very upset. This is the first thing, is that the first thing I want to talk about, I suppose, is grief. The first thing I want to talk about is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us to be moderate in what we do, and, you know, not to wail, and the type of wailing anyway that was done for the dead is when, you know, people are ripping their hair and you know, beating themselves like this. Alhamdulillah, I didn't do that, but I have to say is that, you know, when I got the news, I was really overcome with really, really very, very distressed. I haven't been distressed like that probably, I don't think, ever in my life, which itself, looking back, it's a bit of a shock to me. And, you know, the thing was, I get it's a big lesson for me. And there's some big lessons for me personally in the death of my mum, number one was I used to look at people grieving and crying, and I would sort of, I must admit, I would think, you know, get a grip of yourself, you know, why, you know, okay, it's sad, but, you know, have some restraint. And, but I found myself, when I got the news, you know, literally crying and sobbing and even, you know, making some quite loud wailing noises, like uncontrollably. It was not really something I had any control of. And it took me probably 20 minutes before I could even really just calm down enough just to go and make wudu. And as soon as I could, really, I made wudu and I went and prayed two rak'ah, and then I prayed another two rak'ah because I just needed to. You know, I remembered what Allah said, astayinu wa sabri wa salah. But the things that really hit me, brothers and sisters, and this is what I want to talk about, and I really want to share this with all my revert brothers and sisters, convert, whatever you want to call yourself, revert, convert. I know there's some big debate going on. Yeah, honestly, just, you know, whatever. You know, I suppose there's some advice particularly I want to give to my brothers and sisters who are converts to Islam, but really to everybody as well. So the first thing was, is that for me personally, it was very strange. It's in a very relatively short time, but it was only when my mother, when I heard she had died, that I really appreciated her. And it's this classic thing. You don't know what you've got until you've lost it. And, you know, I took it for granted. I honestly thought my mum was going to live. You know, I thought she was going to outlive me. She's such, you know, everyone who met her and everyone who knew her will, you know, talk about how strong she was mentally and how strong she was physically, despite having, unfortunately, you know, severe accident about 10, 15 years ago, and which really damaged her brain. But despite that, she's really strong. But it did impact her. And various other things, falls that happen and various things. But despite that, she was very strong. And to be honest, I thought she was going to outlive me. So that was a real shock. And like that, everyone in the family was like that. It was for everyone. It was sort of, yeah, I'm going to go and see grandma next month. I'm going to go and see, you know, next year, I'm going to go and spend a year with grandma. Like, this is how people would think. Like, she was this, almost this monument who was living in Portugal. And like any one of the kids was thinking, yeah, I'm going to go and spend some time with grandma. It's like literally how it's almost like a rite of passage amongst the kids. So it was shocking. The other thing was really that I felt the loss of brothers and sisters. And this is really what I want to, really what I want to dwell upon. Please, you know, I want you all to think about this. I don't, you know, because it's too late. It's once your mum's dead, it's too late. And that is, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, a man came and asked the Prophet, who has the most right to my kindness? And the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, your mother. He said, and after that, he said, your mother. And after that, your mother. And after that, then your father. And I'm sure you all know this, your mother, your mother, your mother. And I'm sure you're all familiar with the saying, you know, paradise lies at the feet, you know, of your mother. And that it's a way to paradise, serving your parents. And I always remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet said, may your face be rubbed in the dust, may your face be rubbed in the dust, may his face be rubbed, you know, like may he be humiliated. That's what the Prophet is saying. The person who one or both of his parents reach old age, and he doesn't enter, or she doesn't enter paradise by serving them. And, you know, definitely that was the case of my mum. And although she was in Portugal and I was here in UK, and if she'd wanted to come and live with me, it would have been fine. But obviously I have a family, I have a life, you know, and she wouldn't have ever expected me. I mean, obviously if she really needed me, I would have just gone and I have stayed over there for months, you know, at a time sometimes. To look after her. But it, you know what really hit me is that gate is closed. That gate of reward, that gate to paradise, that gate of getting Allah's. And it's so easy. Like, It's so easy. Like, at least my mum is really easy to look after. She's very, very not demanding. She's just happy to see you. You make her a cup of coffee, she's so happy. You cook her some food, she's so grateful. You know, she was a really easy person to look after. So it was so easy to get, you know, rewards and blessings because she was so easy to sort of look after. And there she was reaching this old age and she you know, there's this, you know, this gate of paradise. And that really hit me so bad, brothers and sisters, that it's gone. You know, that is gone. That gate has closed. That door to Jannah is closed. And that really hit me hard. And the other thing, how can you ever appreciate your mum? How can you ever thank her? You can't thank her. You know, like my sister said to me today, oh, you know, you did this for her, you did that for her, you know, she was like this to you and you were like that to her. And it was like, no, there's nothing I can do to pay her back. Like, nothing I can do to pay her back. Like, just for the fact that she gave birth to me, I can't pay her back for that. All the pain and all the agony your mum goes through to carry you, to feed you, to care for you when you're a child. There's nothing you can do to pay that back. Nothing at all. It doesn't matter. There's just, there is no amount that you can pay that's enough. So you can try, you can show gratitude, you can be dutiful, you can be kind, right? Etc., etc. But you can't pay her back. And you know, I think that's the other thing is that I don't know about all mums. Of course I don't. You know, I can't speak for everybody, but, you know, I guess that's what we do as human beings. Sometimes what we do is we take our own personal experience and then we just think everybody has exactly the same experience. But I've talked to enough people in my life and counseled enough people to realize that, no, people have very different experiences, even with their mothers. And some people, you know, do get a really horrible, hard time from their mothers. And I this is the weird thing, brothers and sisters, is that I wasn't that close to my mum. A lot of the stuff that I did for my mum, I did it out of duty. I did it because of Islam. Honest, that's the real truth. I did it because what Allah told me and because it was a reward. And even though I could never really understand what my mum did for me. And I guess I got a bit of flavor of that when one of the things that, like, seeing my, you know, my wife's giving birth to my kids, that shook me up because then I thought, oh my God, this is what my mum went through. And, you know, not just giving birth, you know, the pregnancy, the morning sickness, the, you know, the breastfeeding and the all the stuff that goes with it. And, you know, that's just a big wake up call. Like, oh my God, this is what my parents went through for me. Yeah. But my mum was, you know, she was a bit of a disciplinarian in many ways. And yeah, I guess for there were various reasons I didn't gel with my mum about certain things. She had certain rules about how to eat, about how to dress, about how to behave, which I just thought were ridiculous, a lot of them. And they were really silly. And I still think that. And, you know, she was really strict about that stuff, even with my kids. Like, you know, my kids knew that grandma was, you know, super strict. But she chilled out a lot in the last years of her life. So there were certain things. And again, you know, I was sent to private school, boarding school when I was 10 years old. And I never understood that. I guess I resented it. I mean, you know, in retrospect, I know they were trying to give me the best education and they did, you know, the best education that money can buy. No doubt about it. I went to one of the best schools in this country, maybe in the world. And that was, you know, it served me very well in my life. No doubt about that. But I didn't enjoy it. I didn't like it. I pretty much hated it. And I sort of I suppose, maybe had a bit of resentment towards my mum. I used to joke with her about it later. And I certainly, if there was anything, I'd certainly forgiven her, because not that there was anything to forgive, because she did her best. But I think these things, there were these things and other things that, you know, I didn't really just connect with my mum that well. And I guess it did change a lot later, especially when I spent a lot of time with her when my dad was dying. But still, but it's when I heard, you know, when I heard the news, suddenly it was, I don't know, it was very weird, brothers and sisters, very weird. Suddenly it was, I just only realized then how much I really did, how important she was to me in my life. And the other thing I realized, and you know, and it's interesting that I was saying this to my sister, and again, this is for all of you brothers and sisters, that maybe you can take a lesson from this, is that maybe you don't really grow up till your parents are dead, because you're still a child. As long as your parents are still alive, yeah, you're still someone's child, right? And that I realized, the other thing I realized, and this was, I think, a good realization. This is something good. I realized that I had to up my game in terms of my trusting in Allah. And, you know, I realized one of the things I know about myself, I'm quite privileged, because my, you know, my mum and dad were well off. And I knew that, you know, although I've gone through some real difficult patches in my life, real financial difficulties, I've lived in some pretty crowded places with my wife and kids. But you know what, at the end of the day, I mean, that was my choice. If I had wanted to, I could have just asked my mum and dad for money and they would have given it to me. And I realized, you know, and the point being here is that, you know, I always had this thing in the back of my mind that my mum was there for me, and that if I needed to go running to her, she was always there. And I know there's a lot of people who don't have that. In fact, it's the opposite way around. Their parents depend upon them and their parents rely upon them financially, and they have that burden of having to look after their parents. I never had that. I never had the burden of having to look after my parents financially, quite the opposite. And I realized that's given me privilege, and it's given me the privilege, you know, in the past, to have a bit of courage to say things and do things and take positions and speak out that I can understand a lot of people may not feel comfortable doing, because I never feel threatened, and I never felt my livelihood or my life was threatened in any particular way, ultimately, because I knew I could go running back to my mum and dad if I really had to. And sort of that's gone. Yeah. That's quite a shock, brothers and sisters. It's quite a shock. It's, you know, and that was one of the things. It's like, yeah, I have to up my tawakkul game now. You know, I think the main thing, brothers and sisters, is, look, you know, I started this whole little conversation with you, and whoever wants to listen to this, obviously, I'm, you know, hopefully this will be on the internet for years and people may listen to it, and I hope they will get some inspiration from it and they will get some motivation and hopefully some guidance and some consolation as well. But, you know, one of the things I started this, you know, today's talk was about her not being Muslim. And although the last words she said, apparently, according to my friend Ed, who, you know, who was looking after her, sort of her carer for the last year, may Allah bless him, he said the last word she says was Alhamdulillah, inshallah, because he asked her, you know, is everything okay? She said, yeah, Alhamdulillah, inshallah, I'll be fine. And that was the last words that she said. So, you know, Allah knows, but she didn't take Shahada. So, I mean, from everything I know and from what I've understood, is that Allah makes it clear in the Quran that, you know, if a person has died outside of Islam, then it is not permissible to make dua for them. It is not. This is an important thing to understand. It's something that should motivate us to try and get our parents and try to persuade them to be Muslim. And obviously Allah guides who he wants to guide. I don't look back and have lots of regrets. I don't feel that I could have given my mum more dawah. Yeah, maybe I could have. I don't know what else I could have done. And I tried. I tried to get her to take shahada. But she wasn't having it. She really wasn't. So, but the point is, that's my mum. You know, with my dad, you probably know the story of my dad, and alhamdulillah that he did take shahada 10 days, 10 days before he died. He took shahada and said it over and over many, many times. And that was largely based upon advice that a sheikh gave me. I say a sheikh, he is a sheikh, but he's a close brother to me, like a friend to me. And he said to me, Abdurrahim, just get your dad to say it, even if you're just tricking him, even if you just say, oh, dad, listen, I've got something to say. See if you can say it after me, like whatever. I mean, I didn't feel comfortable doing that. But his point was, at least if he says the words, mate, there's a chance, right? And you can make dua for him because you can say he took shahada. And I was really sad I didn't get the chance to do that with my mom, because she did die suddenly. I mean, literally, I was talking to her the same night she died. And she sounded so chirpy and cheerful. And she went out with my brother, who'd literally just flown in that day. And they went out to dinner together and, had some chicken piri piri in the famous Algarvian dish. And, it was a great night. So, and then, she just died in her sleep. And this is another thing, brothers and sisters, is that, my mum died the way that she wanted to die. Like, if she had literally written a script, how I want to die, and she used to talk about how she would like to die, and she died exactly that way. It's like, what she wanted, she got. She wanted to die in her sleep quietly. She was really, I think, tired of life. She didn't really have that much to look forward to, except maybe me and my brother visiting her occasionally. But subhanAllah, at the end of the day, in Islam, a long, slow death is actually a good death. And it's funny that, a lot of the people that you talk to and my family who are not Muslim, they'll talk about, yeah, it was a good death. And it's like, no, not by my, but by our, what we believe is a long death is a good death, because a long, slow death is a death that gives you time to reflect. It gives you time to make tawbah. It gives you time to repent. My dad, you could almost say he took 2 years to die on and off. Like, he came home briefly, but he was really deteriorating over a long, long period of time. And definitely he had a lot of time to reflect, a lot of time to think. And I'm sure this is a huge part of the reason why, alhamdulillah, Allah opened it for him to be able to say those shahada. I was shocked, brothers and sisters, for another reason, is that I had a dream that I made Hajj with my mum. And so I was really convinced that I was going to do that. So I was like triple shocked from that, because I felt really, convinced in my heart that eventually she would take the shahada, but she didn't. It is what it is, brothers and sisters. Of course, I believe in Allah's mercy. I believe in Allah's justice. Allah guides who He wants to guide. And only Allah ultimately is the judge. But for us, we have to go on what is apparent. We have to go on what is obvious. And what was obvious and apparent is that she didn't take her shahada, which is sad. So brothers and sisters, the point of all of this and the point of me discussing this is really just to encourage you more than anything else, my revert convert brothers and sisters, please don't be shy in giving you dawah to your parents. Don't be, because you don't know how long they've got. I mean, and I think this whole COVID pandemic should have woken us up to reminding us how short life is, and like how many people, their parents died and they couldn't even be at their bedside. They couldn't even be there because they were shut out, while certain politicians were having parties and drinking and boozing, and many people couldn't even see their parents dying. Let that be a lesson. And you don't know. I really, brothers and sisters, I thought my mum had another 10 years. That's a big shock. You don't know how long. You don't know that your mum is just not going to go, or dad is going to go to sleep one night. And the strange thing is, you know, I always prepare myself. I've prepared myself mentally for one of my kids dying. I love my kids. And you know, sometimes I just think about it. What if one of my kids, if Allah tested me with that, not in a pessimistic type of way, but just to be prepared for a test that Allah sends you, because you should be prepared. You have to train yourself. You have to give yourself tarbiyah. You have to train yourself so that when something happens, subhanAllah, you behave in the way that Allah wants you to behave, and you behave in a way that is pleasing to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's all that is important. But I never trained myself to think about my mum's death. I, you know, maybe I did years ago, but I forgot somehow. So that was realized. I sort of, you know, I was taken very much by surprise. And that's, I guess, that's what a test is, isn't it? I suppose if you prepared for every test, they wouldn't really be tests, because you'd sort of be prepared for it. And, you know, so Allah tests you with the things that are difficult for you. Alhamdulillah, it's brothers and sisters. I don't want to talk too long, because obviously, you know, keep it short, keep it sweet. It's also been really therapeutic for me just to, I obviously did think of cancelling today's little talk, but I thought, no, I want to talk about this. I want to share this with everybody. And maybe one of my brothers and sisters out there, maybe all of you, I hope in some way can benefit from it. And, you know, be good to your mum and dad. There's lots of little sort of sub things I'd like to put, and have some conversations about, you know, being good to your mum and dad and listening to them and obeying them doesn't mean that you allow them to cause you to oppress others or do injustice to others. That's, you know, like, obedience to your parents is not in disobedience to Allah. And that's something my mum and dad understood right from the beginning. I wasn't going to compromise on certain things. And they knew that. There's certain things I would not compromise on. I made it very, very clear. And alhamdulillah, that served me well over the years, that I made certain parameters and certain guidelines absolutely clear. This is not going to happen. And they understood that. And by and large, it was respected. And I hope that I've never allowed my love and my desire to serve and obey my parents ever be a cause to distress my wife or my children or any other human being. And it shouldn't be, because, you know, you can't, you know, and unfortunately, I do see this happening. You do see people who imagine that being nice to your parents means being bad to your wife or to your husband or various other things, or allowing acts of disobedience to take place. No, brothers and sisters, you're not being kind to anyone. If you really being kind to your parents means saving them from being oppressors, saving them from committing crimes and saving them from tyranny, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that help your brother whether he is the oppressor or the oppressed. You're not helping someone by allowing them to continue to backbite or allowing them to continue to treat people badly. Yeah, and I have had to say some sharp words to my mum, in the way that she was maybe talking to my wife or even the kids. And, you know, but that's not out of disrespect to her. Quite the opposite. It's out of fairness and out of justice and out of stopping her from doing something that is transgressing the bounds. And that, brothers and sisters, you have to understand, that is really caring about someone. If you're not telling your mum and dad about Islam, my brothers and sisters who are converts, Do you really care about them? Really? How do you think you're caring about them if you're not finding a way to tell them about Islam? You need to get over, if it's just to do with your own awkwardness, you need to get over it, because it will be regrets. It will be regrets. You will sit there just knowing that, subhanAllah, you didn't fulfill your duty. Don't wait for some magical time just to happen where you think it's going to, you know, there's going to be some magical moment where everything is going to fall in place and you're just going to be able to talk to them about Islam. No. You need to make it happen. You need to make the environment right. You need to make the situation the right situation, right? And sometimes it's just straight out, you know, and I don't mean in a rude way. I don't mean a bad way. But you got to, you know, take that. You got to invite them to Islam, brothers and sisters. And for all of you, my brothers and sisters, who are Muslim already, it's the same thing, really. It's the same thing. Be good to them. Be kind to them. They're a door to paradise. They're a door of great reward. And you never know when that door is going to close and when that door is going to be taken away. So, brothers and sisters, well, until next week, well, we will continue on our hero's journey. And I suppose this is just one of those things that will happen in our journey of life. It's going to happen. So it's one of those tests and trials, because that's what we were talking about, isn't it? Tests and trials. That's what our theme has been last week and this week. So, yeah, one of them just hit me. Big one. Brothers and sisters, may Allah bless you. May Allah guide you. May Allah help us to be good and kind to our mothers and our fathers, and give our parents the respect and the honor that they deserve. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.